Good to be here again this evening to study more of our Father's will. And the lesson tonight is continuing on the lesson we had last week concerning forming the heart. And in brief review of forming the heart, we remember that Jeremiah 17:9, don't look at these because I'm going to skip over them quickly and point out the words that we're looking at. But the heart is deceitful above all things, and so to form our hearts in the image of Christ is going to have to overcome all this deceit. And the thing that overcomes deceit, of course, is the truth. So we need to know all truth in order to overcome all deceit. In 1 Timothy 1:5, again, don't look there, the end of the commandment is charity. That's agape love out of a pure heart and good conscience and faith unfeigned. So the end of the commandment, what we're after, is to form the heart of Christ in a pure heart and good conscience. Then 2 Timothy 3:16, 17, we noted that God has provided everything that we need to make the man of God perfect. And that comes through teaching, for reproof and correction, for instruction. And in Hebrews 12, 1-3, Jesus ran this race ahead of us, so he knows how to run this race. So he was made like his brethren in everything. He then could run this race as we are commanded to. And then we're also looking again now, let's read that, Hebrews 2, 9 and 10, how that Jesus grew to the perfect man. And we notice now the scriptures teach us that the Father did that in the Son. So ordinarily, everybody believes that Jesus did all this himself with his own power, his own strength. And we see in Hebrews 2, 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. So how did that happen? For it became him, that is, it suited him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, that's the Father, in bringing many sons unto glory. So who's doing this for us? The Father, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. So the Father, then, is the one that made the captain of our salvation perfect through suffering according to his word. And we notice that word suffering then. And Hebrews 5, 8, and 9, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And then in verse 9, and being made perfect, we pointed out last week, being made perfect is the passive. So Jesus was made perfect. Of course, he cooperated with the Father, but the Father's the one that perfected him through suffering. So who is it then that brings these suffering? Who was it then that brought the sufferings to Christ? It was the Father. And by overcoming these sufferings, he learned to obey. So if he's going to do that with Christ and he does the same thing with us, then we need to be seeking the Father for his understanding of what he's doing and how we can work with the Father. Let's turn to 2 Peter 2, verse 9. Can the Father keep us from sinning? Now, the world says no. As long as you're on earth, you'll always sin. Of course, do they want to overcome sin? Is that their mind? And, of course, the answer is no. They don't have the new mind, the repentance that God gives. But if we have that new mind and we don't want to sin, then these words are going to be very encouraging to us, that the Father can do these things for us, but we must have our faith in him. And as soon as we give credit to ourselves for overcoming, the Father's not pleased with that. 2 Peter 2, verse 9. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under the day of judgment to be punished. So that first part, the Lord knows how to deliver all men out of temptation. And, of course, he delivers men out of temptation, but he's going to deliver a certain kind of people. So we need to be this godly people if God is going to deliver us out of these temptations. Now, he can deliver us in two senses. One is in keeping us from being tempted. And if he keeps us from being tempted, he delivers us out of temptation. But then on the other hand, if it's delivering us from the temptation, meaning to overcome the temptation, the Father is able to do that also. Now, he knows how to do that for the godly. So in either case, if we're not tempted at all, how many times are we going to sin? And if we are delivered from those temptations, how many times will we sin? So the Father has the power, and he tells us that he does have the power, and he wants us to work with him so he can do that in us. In Romans 5, verse 12, we know that spiritual death occurs the first time a man sins. Spiritual death occurs when a man sins. Wherefore, as one man, sin entered into the world, Adam, and death by sin. And what kind of death? And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So this is not talking about physical death. This is talking about spiritual death. And as Jesus told Adam and Eve, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And what day did they die? The same day God left them. And so that same day, God put them out of the garden and gave them clothes to wear, and then they were on their own. God left them. So we're looking now at the work the Father does in helping us or causing us to overcome sin. In 1 Kings 15:5, we know this scripture, I think, in this congregation well. 1 Kings 15, verse 5, God testifies concerning David, and says, because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. So did David overcome sin by himself, or did the Father in heaven keep him from sinning? In 1 Samuel 25, verse 3, first the Lord testified of Abigail, the son of Nabal, that she was a woman of good understanding. Verse 3, now the name of the man was Nabal, and that literally means fool, and the name of his wife, Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding. So when she talks about David, did she have understanding? Abigail was a woman of good understanding. That's God's word. And so in 1 Samuel 25, verse 27, Abigail testifies to David's innocence all his days. So a woman of good understanding is going to be watching and knowing who's sinning and who's not. And she's been observing David. Why? Because God had ordained that David would be the next king. So she's got her eye on David. Verse 27, and now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fights the battles of the Lord. So she understands what David is doing. She's got faith in the Lord. She knows it's not David's battles, it's God's battles. And evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. So how did she know that? Whether she were a prophetess or not, we don't know. But she testified that David had not had evil found in him all his days. So in 1 Samuel 25, David understood who was able to keep him from sinning. And Abigail then came to the Lord, to David, and brought this gift. And David said to Abigail in verse 32, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with mine own hand. David would have done wrong if he had avenged himself with his own hand. David knew that. But notice, who was the one that sent Abigail? Did she come on her own volition, or did the Lord send her? Verse 32, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. So God sent Abigail, and that helped David to overcome an otherwise sin. In Romans, the 7th chapter, in verse 9, he If the Father kept Jesus from sinning, then he saved him from the death, the same death that Paul died when he sinned. For I was alive without the law once. Has he sinned yet? I was alive, spiritually alive, without the law. He didn't know the law. But when the commandment came, he knew the law. Sin revived and I died. He's still living physically, so what death is this? Spiritual death. So as soon as Paul sinned, he died, just like Adam and Eve, just like we do. Anybody that sins, they die. God leaves them. So here, Paul was alive without the law, and God did not keep Paul from sinning. And Jesus now was kept from sinning. Hebrews 5, verse 8. Why did the Father cause Jesus to overcome in all his temptations? Because Jesus had a mind to suffer. Whatever he needed to suffer in order to obey God's command, he was willing to do that. Though he were a son, no difference, he's made in the likeness of men, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. So again, we mention tonight that if we're going to learn to obey more, what are we going to need to do? If we suffer more to obey, we have more patience. So Jesus learned to obey by suffering. We grow in our obedience by the same way. So we need to walk in Jesus' steps. Now, remember when the temptation was too strong for Jesus, the Father sent an angel to strengthen him. And so the Father then kept Jesus from sinning by sending this extra strength. So when God gave Jesus strength, only then was he able to endure the cross. So with God's special strength, Jesus was able to endure the suffering. Is it possible for us to endure the suffering if God gives us strength? So should we be asking the Lord in our temptations to give us strength to suffer in order to obey? In James, the fourth chapter, verses 1 and 2, James 4, verses 1 and 2, why have we not been able to overcome all temptation? James 4, 1, from whence come war and fighting among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? So there's our temptation. They come of our desires, and they war in our members. Without our members, we could not see, hear, taste, touch, or feel. So with our members, we do all these things, and that's where the temptations come through. So he says in verse 2, you lust, that is, you desire, through metal, you desire and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, and here's the reason why they didn't have, yet you have not because you ask not. So if we have not asked for strength to overcome in the temptation, then whose fault is it that we have not overcome? We need to see the temptation ahead of time. We need to know all the different kinds of temptation. And when they present themselves, we need to immediately begin to ask the Father, Father, please give me strength to overcome in this temptation. So we have if we ask. If we don't ask, we may not have. So in John 16, verses 23 and 24, John 16, 23, Jesus encourages us to ask for everything that we need. And if we're desiring to overcome sin, then we need this strength from God to overcome in our temptation. And in that day you shall ask me nothing, verse 23. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Now, up till this time, Jesus didn't have the authority, so they could not pray in his name. After the cross, he received all authority, then they could pray in his name. And he says, you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. So who's giving here if we ask? The Father is. Now, later we'll find that the Father gives through the Son, but nevertheless, the initial giving comes from the Father. We need to trust Him and ask Him for the strength and the courage we need to endure. So Hebrews, the second chapter and verse 7, we see that Jesus made loud crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. Now, could anybody save Jesus from physical death, considering the prophecy in the Old Testament? Nobody could save Jesus from physical death. It was prophesied that he would die for the people, and he had to die physically. Then what death is this in Hebrews 5:7 that the Father can save him from? And the only death God could save him from then is spiritual death. And if he did not sin, he would be saved from spiritual death. So if we don't sin, then we'll not die. But every man has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But once we come into Christ, we can overcome that sin. And we need to make loud cryings and tears unto him that is able to save us from spiritual death. When we come into Christ, we're spiritually made alive. Then who can save us from spiritual death? Well, the law of sin and death has made us free. Sorry, the spirit of the law of Christ in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. So once we're in Christ, we have that law. And so when we sin, we don't die. But if we get weaker and weaker, we will finally die. And the Father is able to keep us alive if we'll listen to him. So Hebrews 2 verse 6. Was Jesus' faith not fully in his Father to perfect him? But one in a certain place testified, and he's quoting the Old Testament here, What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? So who's this son of man? Well, we understand who that is. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. We know who that is. Thou crowned him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hand. We know who that is. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. So who's Psalm 2? This is to the Father and what he's done for Christ. But now we see not yet all things put under him. What do we see then? But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. So verse 7 prophecy is fulfilled in Jesus. Made a little lower than the angels. How is that? Angels are greater in power and might than man, but they're just a little above men, not a lot. So Jesus then made as a man, was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. That's when he was raised to in the resurrection to the right hand of the Father, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Verse 10, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, the Father, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. So did Jesus do all these things by himself, or did the Father do these things for Christ? So if he did them for Christ, can he do them for us? He wants us to walk in Jesus' steps. If he doesn't do them for us, how can we walk in Jesus' steps? In Psalms 91, the prophecy concerning Christ here shows that the Father did all these things for Christ. And we need to believe this psalm, and we need to follow in his steps. Psalms 91, verse 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. So he's talking to somebody here. You made the Lord thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Why? He's made the Father his refuge. They shall bear thee up in their hands, verse 12, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. No doubt he's talking about the Pharisees and Sadducees. Verse 14, because he set his love on me. Now previously it's because the Most High was his refuge. He trusted in God to do these things for him and protect him. Now he says, because he has set his love on me. So that's what Jesus did for the Father. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. So Jesus knew the Father's name and obeyed all the Father's commandments. And why? Because he loved the Father. So if we love the Father to the point where we then want to obey and do finally obey all the commands of God, we'll set our love on the Father. And the Father's no respecter of persons. Therefore, will I deliver him? So will the Father deliver us if we set our love on him? Verse 15, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. So the Father then was with Jesus because he set his love on the Father. And we set our love on the Father by obeying the Father's commands willingly. So Jesus then set his love and his faith in the Father. Hebrews 5:7, we read it again. Hebrews 5, verse 7. Here's how he set his love on the Father and his trust in the Father, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard, in that he feared. And this word feared here is the word reverence. It's not being afraid. It's not phobeo. It's to reverence. So Jesus reverenced God. He reverenced all the parts of God. He loved God, set his love on God, made God his refuge. And so Jesus then was willing to cry to him, and the Father then saved him from death. So who saved Jesus from sinning? It was the Father. And the Father can do the same thing for us. Now, many in the world are like Mary here in John the 11th chapter. And they have faith in their own understanding and not in what the Scriptures say. We just read what the Scriptures say. John 11:21, here's what Mary thought. We'll see what Martha thought. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou shalt will ask of God, God will give it thee. Well, what about in the Garden of Eden just before the cross? Jesus said, let this cup pass from me. Well, God did not hear that prayer in the sense of answering it. But Mary thought, anything Jesus asked for, he could get immediately. What about the strong cryings and tears? No, Jesus was made like his brethren in everything. He had to endure the same temptations that all his brethren did, and he's like us in every way. So whatever Jesus asked, he did not immediately receive, and especially there on the cross. So Jesus then had to make loud cryings and tears to him that was able to save him from death. What about us? Do we need to just say, Lord, help me? Or, Lord, deliver me from this? Or should we plead with the Lord in these temptations if they get stronger and stronger? So if Jesus is our master in Matthew 6:24, we'll follow in his steps. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So there are two masters, God and mammon, material things and God. We can't serve mammon and God, but we also can't have more than one master, because when we're like the master in the end, we can't be like two people at the one time. So our master has run this race ahead of us. He is our master, and he can show us the way to run. In Luke, the 24th chapter, verses 44 and 45, Jesus had the power to open men's minds so they could understand. Now, here's another way that we can walk in the steps of Christ. Because if we don't understand the truth of God, we're not like Christ. And so somehow we need to understand God. And he told Timothy, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Well, here the Lord, the Father, works through Christ in verse 44. And he said unto them, the apostles, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses. Did they understand when he spoke to them the first time? Answer is no, they didn't. Why not? Well, their minds were not open in verse 45. Then opened he their understanding, and strangely enough, and I haven't figured this yet, I'm working on it, that word understanding there is the word Dionu, which is the deep mind. So this is the mind that determines in Romans 7. So somehow he opened their determination here that they might understand the scriptures. So there's something that happened there we need to understand. But nevertheless, what caused them to understand the scripture? Was it their own intelligence or did they have divine help? Well, this is after the resurrection. Jesus has all power and all authority. Now, he's the one that opened their minds so they could understand. So if the Lord doesn't open our minds to understand, can we understand? Is it our own intelligence or is it some man? No, we can only have one master. If we get understanding, that understanding must come through that one master, nobody else. And as he says, you heard the words that I spoke to you concerning my death, burial and resurrection. Now I'm giving you understanding to those words. So the words are all important. 1 Peter 2. If we follow Jesus' example, we will grow in the same love that he grew in. 1 Peter 2:21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. So when we take the Lord's Supper, and it's common for us to refer to Jesus died for our sins, is that the only real reason why he died for us? No, he died so we would not live for ourselves, 2 Corinthians 5:15. And here, he also died to leave us an example to follow in his steps. So when we see him being tested on the cross and before the cross, we understand that this is our example. We need to follow in his steps. Can we follow in his steps if we have no suffering? So our growth, our spiritual growth, depends on our suffering, the same sufferings that Jesus suffered. And remember, his yoke is easy, his burden is light. He can give us strength to overcome in all these things, but he must be our refuge. We must be trusting in him and not try to overcome these things on our own. In verse 22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. There's a pretty good example. That's fear of the Lord. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. We need to remember this one, because many times we are reviled and we remember it for years later. And we determine we're not going to have anything to do with those people because of what they did years ago. Well, the Lord says, remember, if you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. We need to forget all those things of the past. And when Jesus was reviled, he did not revile again. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. We don't need to worry about what men do to us. No matter what they do to us, our trust and our hope should be in the Father to help us to overcome. So then this example he mentions in verse 21 is found also in verses 19 through 20. Verse 19, for this is thankworthy, that's grace, favor from God, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. So if we suffer wrongfully, it can't be just, okay, I'll take it. It's we must be doing this for the Father. Where's our hope? In the Father, in pleasing the Father. So if we're doing these things to please the Father and endure grief, suffering wrongfully, willingly, then we'll get his favor. If we take an exception and we're insulted by these people, we don't get his favor. In verse 20, for what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, there's your endurance, suffer. This is acceptable with God. That word acceptable there is the word grace. So when we take these things willingly and return good for evil, what does God? How does God respond? He gives us his favor. We get favor this way. So if we want more favor, we need more people to do more against us. Well, you don't need to think about ways to do anything against me. I've got enough. But we do. We need to have more wrong done to us so we can respond in wisdom and righteousness and willingly endure these things and trust the Father. It doesn't matter what these men do to us. It doesn't matter what they've done in the past or present or future. God's the one where our refuge needs to be. So when he says Romans, the 5th chapter, verses 3 through 5, he tells us now very clearly how we get patience. And remember, he said, let patience have her perfect work. Well, Romans 5, verse 3 to 5. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation also. And that word tribulation is the pressure from the world, knowing that tribulation works patience. So how do we get more and more ability to endure, which is what patience is, endurance, cheerful endurance? We get it by having more and more pressure on us. So when men turn against us and threaten us, it's pressure. And we don't need to give in to that pressure, but we need to endure it willingly and trust the Lord to get us out of whatever he wants to get us out of. And hope, patience experience, and experience hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which he has given us. So that's how we get God's love in our hearts, by this tribulation, through patience. Then in James 1, 2-4, we read this many times before, but let's notice especially this time that patience is what causes us to be complete, entire, lacking nothing. James 1, 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers different temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. So there's your temptation, and that's when our faith is tried. And that is what causes us to have more patience, if we overcome and endure the suffering to do right. In verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And that word wanting there is lacking nothing. So if we want this perfection, if we want to have the entire love of God, love of Christ in our hearts, then it's patience that causes us to grow in these qualities of Christ. Let patience have her perfect. There's your complete work. So patience is working. And of course, we know in Romans 5 that the Holy Spirit is working in this patience and causing us to grow if we overcome in the temptation. And that's why he said he won't let us be tempted above what we're able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape. So we can overcome in all these temptations if we trust the Lord and ask him for strength and help. And then in Luke 21, verse 19, how can we possess our souls? Very clear. In your patience, possess ye your souls. So our patience is willing endurance. And if we willingly endure all these things and cheerfully endure them, and don't have any begrudging or any murmuring or anything like that, that we thank the Lord for all these sufferings that we get, then we will get this patience. And that endurance then will cause us to possess our own souls. So in James 1, verse 5, to actually grow to the complete man, we must also have wisdom. In James 1, verse 5, after he gives this pathway of spiritual growth on how we can become perfect and entire, lacking nothing, then he tells us, if any of you lack wisdom, wisdom to what? Wisdom to run this race. We need the wisdom of God to be able to run this race. So even though we know this is the pathway, how do we get on that pathway and how do we run it? We've got to have wisdom. So he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and who will give it to you in the next 2 seconds. You know, he doesn't say that. We need to ask God, not just once, but we need to continue to ask, and we'll see as we go through the pathway to wisdom why we need to keep on asking and why wisdom just isn't suddenly poured into our heads. And we see that the wisdom was not just poured into Solomon's head. God gave him that wisdom slowly but surely. And so he'll do the same for us. If we lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give, that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. So if we ask the Lord for wisdom, he's not going to chide us and tell us we're not doing right. He's going to encourage us. And it shall be given him. but necessary. We must walk the right pathway to get that wisdom. So wisdom is the power to accomplish the work that God gives us to do. And that needs to be our next topic in how we, according to Scripture, grow in God's wisdom. So tonight, if you're not a member of the Lord's body and you need to obey the Lord, obey the gospel, we would encourage you to lovingly turn to the Lord so that he can be your father, so that you will walk in the path of Christ and have the Father form Christ's heart in you. He's willing to do that if you're willing. And if you are willing, you need to obey the Lord's command to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. So we need to do that, and we need to be buried with Christ after we've crucified the old man. If you need the prayers of the church, if you're a member, then we would encourage you to come now while we stand together.